Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're plunging into a story that's, well, it's not just about overcoming adversity, it's really about the very nature of human consciousness and connection.
That's right.
We're talking about Helen Keller and her seminal autobiography, The Story of My Life. Mm-hmm. It's a book that feels like far more than just a memoir. It's this profound journey into what it means to perceive, to learn, and to truly be human.
And it's a narrative that really continues to resonate, I think, because it challenges our most fundamental assumptions about the world.
Yeah.
While many of us know Helen Keller as this, you know, symbol of resilience, her story, especially in her own words, offers such a unique lens into how our minds actually construct reality.
Right.
Born in 1880, she lost her sight and her hearing at a very young age. Her story is significant, not just as a personal triumph, but as this profound exploration of human potential, the transformative power of language, and what it truly means to see and understand the world around us, even when those primary senses are, well, absent.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Our mission today is to journey through Keller's life as she recounts it, trying to extract the most important lessons from her incredible path.
Mm-hmm.
She described her early life as a no world, almost like a chaotic prison of silence and darkness.
Yeah, that's the phrase she used.
So we'll trace her path from that profound isolation into one of rich communication and just incredible impact, and maybe in doing so, challenge some of our own perceptions of reality. Let's start right at the very beginning, those formative, incredibly challenging years. What was life actually like for her then, trapped in that no world?
Her early life in Tuscumbia, Alabama was, yeah, marked by an immense and truly unique struggle. After that devastating illness at 19 months old, probably scarlet fever or meningitis, they think she was just plunged into this world of complete silence and darkness.
Wow.
And as she described it, a no world of confusion and understandably immense frustration. I mean, try to imagine if you can, a constant overwhelming flood of just tactile sensations, smells, tastes, vibrations, but with no way to categorize them.
No names for anything.
Exactly. No names, no symbols to link them to any meaning. It's not just silence and darkness. It's this profound inability to construct a coherent reality, to understand cause and effect, or even really to form distinct thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pure sensory input without any cognitive framework to make sense of it.
That sounds less like just being deaf and blind and more like being, yeah, a mind without a map, a soul without language to navigate its own existence. It's almost unimaginable.
It really is.
So what was the turning point in this no world? How did she begin to break free from that cognitive prison?
The pivotal moment, which Keller herself calls her intellectual and spiritual birth, arrived in March 1887 with her new teacher, Anne Sullivan.
Ah, Anne Sullivan.
Yes. Anne, herself partially blind and a graduate of the Perkins Institution for the Blind, she came with this innovative and deeply empathetic approach. And crucially, she treated Helen not as, you know, a pitiable victim of circumstance.
Right.
But as a capable, intelligent child whose mind was simply waiting for the key to unlock it.
That respect must have been huge.
Absolutely. And the famous breakthrough, as many know, happened at the Well House. Anne had been spelling words into Helen's hand, a method she'd been using for a little while, but the connection wasn't fully made yet.
Mm.
Then, as cool water flowed over one of Helen's hands, Anne spelled W-A-T-E-R into the other.
The moment the world just snapped into focus for her. I mean, it's almost impossible for us to conceive of that kind of instantaneous revelation, the aha moment that awakened her soul, as you put it.
Absolutely. Keller's own words capture it perfectly. That living word awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, joy, set it free.
Wow.
In that instant, she understood not just that W-A-T-E-R was a name, but that the finger play, the spelling, was a symbol. A concept that could be applied to everything.
Everything.
The world, which before was this chaotic jumble of disconnected sensations, suddenly began to make sense. It was the discovery of language itself, that principle of symbolic representation, that just transformed her.
And from that point?
From that moment, an insatiable desire to learn the name of everything took hold. She'd touch an object and eagerly hold out her hand for Anne to spill its name.
Just soaking it all in.
Completely. And she describes then learning abstract concepts, like love. Anne spelled the word into her hand after Helen had a moment of frustration, and Anne explained that love was a feeling, not something she could touch.
Oh.
And that understanding fundamentally transformed her comprehension of the world, allowing her to categorize, to reason, and to connect with abstract ideas.
So once that cognitive dam broke, once that initial spark of language was there, what did the river of her formal education look like? How did Anne and Helen build on that breakthrough?
Well, from that breakthrough, her education just exploded with astonishing speed. She quickly learned to read raised letters and then Braille, which, in her words, opened up a vast world of literature.
Right.
Think about the sheer volume of information that suddenly became accessible: history, poetry, science, all flowing through her fingertips. She'd spent hours, sometimes days, just devouring books, essentially seeing worlds far beyond her physical reach.
Amazing.
But it wasn't just reading. She also underwent these really arduous attempts to learn to speak audibly.
Oh, really? How did that work?
Under the tutelage of Sarah Fuller, she'd place her fingers on Fuller's lips and throat, feeling the subtle vibrations and muscle movements, trying her best to replicate them.
Wow, that sounds incredibly difficult.
It was painstakingly slow, often frustrating, absolutely. But it was another vital bridge to connecting with the world more directly, allowing her to voice her thoughts more spontaneously, even if it wasn't perfect.
It sounds like each step, each new skill, even if it was really hard, was just another layer of connection to a world she was so desperate to join. But it wasn't all, you know, smooth sailing, was it? Her journey was also marked by some profound intellectual and emotional challenges.
That's absolutely right. A particularly painful setback,
mm-hmm.
and one that really informed her later intellectual development, was the Frost King incident.
Yes. Tell us about that.
Helen wrote a story she believed was completely original, full of vivid imagery, a compelling narrative, but it was later discovered to be essentially a subconscious reproduction of a story that had been read to her years earlier.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The resulting accusation of plagiarism deeply wounded her. It led to this period of intense self-doubt and fear about her own mind's ability to distinguish between memory and creation.
I can see how that would be terrifying.
Imagine trying to verify the originality of a thought when your entire understanding of the world is mediated through touch and interpretation. It highlights a cognitive challenge most of us just never even consider. Was it memory? Was it original? The boundaries were uniquely blurred for her.
A devastating intellectual and emotional blow, truly. Yet you mentioned it actually strengthened her resolve rather than crushing it. How did she manage to turn such a painful experience into a catalyst?
Precisely. This incident, while traumatic, it really fueled her determination to prove her intellectual capacity beyond any doubt. It pushed her to conquer the academic world on its own terms.
Okay.
And that led to her rigorous preparation for and admission to Radcliffe College.
Radcliffe. And imagine the immense logistical challenges there.
Oh, absolutely. All her textbooks had to be laboriously spelled into her hand, sometimes for hours and hours on end, by an interpreter, usually Anne. She then typed her answers using a special Braille typewriter, or sometimes dictated them aloud. The proctors, the whole system, had to adapt entirely to her unique methods. It was just a testament to sheer will, adaptive learning, and of course, the unwavering support of Anne Sullivan.
And this incredible effort, this monumental undertaking, it culminated in one of her most significant achievements, right? Solidifying her legacy.
Her graduation from Radcliffe in 1904, she became the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree.
Incredible.
This is a peak achievement that resonated globally. It challenged these deeply ingrained societal perceptions of disability and really showcased the truly unlimited potential of the human spirit.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a personal success. It was this profound statement to the world that intellect, creativity, and the desire to learn just transcend physical limitations.
So moving beyond the incredible chronology of her life, what are the deeper truths here? The core beliefs that Helen Keller's extraordinary journey illuminates for us, what were the fundamental philosophies driving her?
Well, her journey really crystallized several core philosophies, each deeply intertwined with her unique experience. First, and maybe most profoundly, is the liberating power of language and education.
Okay.
For Helen, language wasn't just a tool for communication. It was the actual foundation of conscious thought itself. Before words, her mind was, as she said, a chaotic prison.
Right, the no world.
Exactly. Not just silent and dark, but unable to meaningfully process that chaos of sensory input. Language provided the architecture for her consciousness, allowing her to categorize, to reason, and connect with abstract ideas. Education, particularly Anne's innovative methods, was the vehicle for this liberation.
That's huge. What else?
Second, the indomitable human spirit and resilience. I mean, her life is just a profound testament to an unyielding determination to learn, connect, and live fully despite obstacles that most of us would deem absolutely insurmountable.
True.
Her spirit wasn't just tenacious, it was hungry, relentlessly seeking to connect and understand. It makes her story a powerful blueprint for perseverance, fueled by this insatiable curiosity.
And the role of Anne Sullivan seems critical, too.
Definitely. Third, the critical importance of human connection and mentorship. Helen often emphasized that her spirit would have just remained locked without Anne Sullivan.
Bridge to the world.
Exactly. Anne was her bridge to the world. And their bond highlights this profound truth. Even the most remarkable individual journeys are rarely solitary. They're often catalyzed by the faith, the patience, the dedicated effort of another human being.
That's a powerful point.
Fourth, she forces us into a redefinition of perception and the nature of reality. Helen experienced the world primarily through touch, smell, and vibration. This wasn't just about adapting. It was about fundamentally restructuring her cognitive map of reality.
How so?
Well, where we might process tree visually, she knew its rough bark, the unique scent of its leaves, the vibration of wind through its branches. It raises these profound questions about whether our primary senses limit our reality or just define it.
Or maybe reality is more fluid than we think?
Exactly. Is reality far more fluid and malleable than we commonly assume?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean for how we perceive the world around us?
Fascinating. And one more.
And finally, the imagination as an inner eye. Lacking physical sight, she developed this extraordinarily powerful imagination. She spoke of literature as her utopia, where she was not disenfranchised. Books were portals to vividly constructed worlds, providing sanctuary, freedom, allowing her to see far beyond her physical reach. She found worlds more vivid and expansive in her mind's eye than many sighted people probably ever experience.
It really does make you rethink how much of our own reality is shaped by, well, convention and just our default sensory input rather than pure sensation. Those philosophies really distill the essence of her journey, particularly how language was the key. So if we had to pinpoint just three moments that truly bent the arc of her life, those really pivotal turning points, what would they be?
Okay, that's a great challenge because her life was so full of transformative moments.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick three,
First,
I'd say the illness at 19 months old. This was the initial involuntary transformation. It closed off her primary senses, created that profound challenge, defined the no world she inhabited. It set the stage for everything that followed. It was the fundamental before state.
The event that started it all.
Okay. Second, and probably most famously, the arrival of Anne Sullivan and the Well House moment on March 3rd, 1887. This was her intellectual and spiritual birth.
Right.
It wasn't just learning a word. It was grasping the principle of language itself. It was the ignition of consciousness, the moment her mind understood that symbols could unlock meaning, transforming chaos into a coherent, knowable world. It connected her to the broader human experience. This really marks the genesis of her true life and identity.
The moment everything changed. And the third?
And third, I would argue, was the Frost King incident and her subsequent unwavering determination to pursue higher education.
Interesting choice. Why that one specifically?
Well, while it was a deeply painful setback that made her question her own mind, that accusation of plagiarism spurred her resolve like almost nothing else. It highlighted the unique complexities of her learning and memory, yes, but it also ignited this profound, almost defiant will to prove her intellectual capacity beyond any doubt.
I see.
It pushed her to conquer the academic world on its own terms, culminating in her success at Radcliffe and challenging the very limits of human achievement. It showed incredible resilience and ambition born from adversity.
Each one a profound redefinition of her path and purpose. Okay, connecting this to the bigger picture, what universal human lessons, beyond just, you know, inspiration, can we, the listener, practically draw from Helen Keller's journey today? What's the modern relevance here?
Oh, there's so much modern relevance. Her life teaches us profoundly about overcoming adversity and building resilience.
Definitely.
She shows us to focus on what can be done, not what cannot. Limitations, she suggests, are often in our assumptions, not in our inherent capacity. It's like a blueprint for approaching challenges, not just with grit, but with a profound creativity to find alternative pathways. And that's applicable in any field, any personal struggle.
That creativity aspect is key. What else?
Second, it speaks profoundly to the power of empathy and communication. Keller's story really challenges us to step outside our own sensory biases and genuinely seek to understand how others perceive and interact with reality.
Mm-hmm.
Communication becomes this profound act of bridge building, an intentional effort to make others feel seen and heard, regardless of the medium or the challenges involved.
Finding ways to connect, whatever it takes.
Exactly. Third, it highlights the critical importance of mentorship and support systems. Her bond with Anne Sullivan vividly illustrates how one person's belief, their patience, their dedicated effort can fundamentally alter another's life.
Yeah.
It reminds us that while individual spirit is vital, profound growth is often a collaborative masterpiece built on trust, belief, and shared effort.
We don't achieve great things alone.
Pretty much. Fourth, it inspires fostering curiosity and lifelong learning. Her insatiable desire to learn, even after achieving so much, encourages us to adopt a mindset of continuous intellectual growth and adaptability throughout our lives.
Keep asking questions.
Absolutely. In a world drowning in information, Keller's relentless pursuit of understanding reminds us that true learning is an active, often arduous, but ultimately deeply rewarding process of discovery.
And finally,
it showcases creativity and innovation under constraints. When deprived of primary inputs, she didn't just adapt. She innovated new ways of perceiving and interacting with the world, developing her other senses to an extraordinary degree.
Yeah.
This is such a powerful lesson for all of us. Constraints, rather than just being barriers, can actually be catalysts for astonishing creativity, forcing us to think differently and unlock unimagined strengths.
It's a powerful reminder that our default senses might actually, in a way, blind us to other ways of knowing, other ways of experiencing reality.
Well put.
As we bring this deep dive to a close, let's distill Helen Keller's profound story into three powerful takeaways for you to carry forward.
My pleasure. Okay, three takeaways. First, an emotional insight. I think the most emotionally powerful lesson is captured in her famous quote, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart."
Mm.
Her life demonstrates that the deepest connections, the most profound understanding, they really transcend physical perception.
Yeah.
They resonate at an emotional, empathetic level that is accessible to all of us, reminding us what truly matters.
Beautiful.
What's next?
Second, an intellectual insight. Knowledge is love and light and vision. For Helen, language was the fundamental key that unlocked the human mind. Education, for her, wasn't just about acquiring facts. It was about gaining a true, multifaceted vision of the world.
Right.
It transformed isolation into a conscious, thinking, and feeling being. For Helen, knowledge literally was her light, replacing the function of her lost senses and illuminating her inner world.
Knowledge is vision. I like that. And the last one. And third, a universal insight. Human potential is far, far greater than we typically assume. Her story is this defiant declaration. We underestimate human capacity at our peril.
No.
Limitations are often more about a lack of opportunity and appropriate resources, or maybe just imagination, than about actual human capacity. It compels us to look beyond surface assumptions, to dismantle perceived barriers, and to seek innovative solutions to unlock potential both in ourselves and in everyone we encounter.
A truly limitless spirit indeed. And here's a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over after this deep dive. Helen Keller discovered a rich, full life by developing her inner eyes and connecting through unexpected channels. What overlooked senses or perhaps invisible bridges to understanding might we cultivate in our own lives to see our world and each other more profoundly? Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the extraordinary life and insights of Helen Keller.
Her journey from isolation to profound achievement continues to inspire, reminding us that with belief, education, and connection, the human spirit really is truly limitless.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.